Over 100 million people tuned in for the Super Bowl back on Sunday. Advertisers paid top dollar to show us their brands, their products, their services in the famous Super Bowl commercials. 30 seconds on NBC during the game cost upward of $6.5 million. Doesn't include the cost to actually make the commercial and hire the celebrities. It's a lot of money for a lot of eyeballs, but these companies think it's worth the investment. We're going to check out the trends and themes behind this year's commercials. Joette Rocco is a senior lecturer in the Department of Journalism, Advertising, and Media Studies at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Joette, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's going to be so much fun talking about these ads.
Yeah. Why are they willing to pay big bucks for the Super Bowl? I guess it must work.
There are different, it depends on how you define work. Okay. One of the reasons that they are willing to pay that much money to advertise during the Super Bowl is a thing that we call in media buying and planning reach and frequency. So the Super Bowl has enormous reach, as you mentioned, over 100 million viewers this year. In fact, they think this was going to be the highest viewership, 117 million people, they think, tuned in this year. It's higher than any other year. And so they definitely are getting the reach with their brands. Plus, they also will get some of the frequency because these ads are watched over and over again on YouTube, and they're played over again after the Super Bowl. So yeah, they're getting a good deal for their $6.5+ million.
And with binge watching and streaming and things like that, I've heard it's harder for advertisers to reach a big audience all at once. An event like the Super Bowl, I guess, is an exception to that, right?
That is one of the, I guess we could say that is the place if you're going to place your ads. Yes, the Super Bowl has become the gold standard of where you want to be if you want to reach massive amounts of people at one time. And as you kind of mentioned in the lead-in, the millennials and Gen Z, the Super Bowl has a really wide range of viewers, including, you know, you can go to baby boomers, Gen Xers, millennials, and Gen Z, and everybody's tuned into the Super Bowl.
I want to give a listen to some of the Super Bowl ads here. Let's start with Planet Fitness featuring some celebrity cameos. We got William Shatner narrating an ad about what's gotten into Lindsay Lohan.
People are wondering,
what's gotten into Lindsay?
She's never been sharper.
This basketball star married himself in 1996.
Who is Dennis Rodman?
Correct.
Son of a...
She's sleeping better than ever, which the paparazzi aren't thrilled about.
I miss Lindsay!
She's even more productive, trading DUIs for DIY.
The verdict is...
gorgeous. Maybe it's not what's gotten into Lindsay. It's what Lindsay's gotten into.
Hey, William.
Planet Fitness. Get glowing and feel spectacular.
Well, now here's an icon that baby boomers grew up with, narrating an icon that millennials grew up with, skipping us Gen Xers, I guess. What do you think? Multi-generational appeal there, Joette?
Absolutely. Multi-generational appeal there. And not only multi-generational, but, you know, you have your, with Lindsay Lohan, you have your the female demographic, people that are into fashion. You've got Dennis Rodman, you know, you're catching the sports fan, William Shatner. You're catching people that, you know, grew up with Star Trek, and you've even got Danny Trejo in there that's starred in a few movies. Danny Trejo is the figure that she was doing the wrist bracelet or the ankle bracelet that he was wearing and putting bling on it. So, yeah, it's catching a lot of different demographics there.
What other kind of themes? You mentioned the millennial reach here. What other things struck you as you watched through the Super Bowl ads this year?
One of the things that really struck me, I think there's two things of the main themes that I saw during the Super Bowl ads. Number one, most of the ads were very feel good ads. They were trying to be funny. They were trying to be entertaining. They were trying to be larger than life. I think one of the things they're trying to do is make people feel better. We're coming out of this pandemic. You know, just anything to get people a little bit pumped up. And the other thing was the amount of celebrities that are in these ads. I went back to 2015 and I looked at the ads back in 2015, which was, you know, 7 years ago. And sure, there were ads with celebrities in them, but not to the extent that they're using celebrities in ads these days. And as you mentioned, you know, you pay $6.5 million for a 30-second spot, and then $750,000 to $1 million to produce a Super Bowl quality ad. And then on top of that, depending on the celebrity, you're going to add on $500,000 to $2 million per celebrity to make an appearance in your commercial. So the celebrities were big this year.
Well, speaking of feel-good ads, even Dr. Evil was playing a good guy in this GM ad.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, our takeover of General Motors is complete.
Dr. Evil, GM's Ultium platform will power our whole operation.
Now we can reduce tailpipe emissions.
Oh, please, cheer.
For my son.
Your son? I shall name him Baby Me.
No, his name is Kyle.
You must help save the world first.
Then you can take over that world.
Hold on, I've got it. I will help save the world first, then take over the world.
So celebrities there, electric cars, which we're also talking about today on the show. That one looked pretty expensive. Is it, Joette, is this one you think people are going to be talking about and going, as you mentioned, to YouTube to watch as well?
Yeah, I'm sure. And I've been looking around the last couple of days, you know, how things are trending on YouTube, the kinds of things that media critics are, you know, and that's part of where these ads also get a lot of their after Super Bowl oomph is, you know, media critics talking about them, news talking about them, people going to YouTube to watch them again. Austin Powers, the first movie came out in 1997. So, you know, there you're getting that millennial and Gen X group that really remember the Austin Powers movies. They're even talking about, after that commercial, coming out with a fourth Austin Powers, either a movie or a TV series. So yeah, this is resonating with a lot of people in a lot of different generational brackets. And I mentioned this ad in a couple of my classes over the last couple of days, and even the Gen Zers really liked that commercial. They are all very familiar with Austin Powers. So it has a broad resonation with different groups of people.
We're talking about Super Bowl commercials with UW-Milwaukee senior lecturer Joette Rocco. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Call in now. Do you watch the Super Bowl just or mainly for the commercials? Do you go and watch them online sometime? What struck you about this year's batch of Super Bowl commercials? If anything, do you have a favorite or most annoying? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up the conversation with Joette Rocco, senior lecturer at UW-Milwaukee, talking about the Super Bowl commercials, what they mean for the future of advertising. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like to watch the ads? Do you watch the game and mute the ads? Or vice versa? Anything stand out to you particularly bad or good this year? 800-642-1234 is the number. Joette, you just mentioned talking to your students, a lot of Generation Z students, I imagine, as you just mentioned. What else did they say about the commercials they saw?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because I teach advertising classes, and you know, I'll ask my students at the beginning of the semester every year. I'll go, do you like watching advertising? You know, Gen Z is a generation that has grown up with so much advertising coming at them now, not only through traditional media, but through the digital media, that they have very much learned how to turn advertising off, whether it be psychologically or physically. I asked them, how do you feel generally about the ads during the Super Bowl? They liked some of them. Some of them, you know, it's a mixed review. Some of them they really liked. They really liked the Larry David ad for FTX. They liked the, it's funny, they liked the Arnold Schwarzenegger ad with Selma Hayek, but they didn't Some of them didn't know who Arnold Schwarzenegger, who Arnold Schwarzenegger was. So there was a range of you know what they liked and what they didn't like.
Let's check out that Larry David ad for a crypto product. Here's a listen.
I call it the wheel.
I don't think so.
What does it do?
It rules.
Yeah, so does a bagel, okay? A bagel you can eat.
One of the worst ideas I've ever heard.
My lord?
What is it?
A toilet, my lord.
A toilet? You expect this court to do its business inside? We're not animals. We go outside like humans.
Like I was saying, it's FTX. It's a safe and easy way to get into crypto.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I'm never wrong about this stuff. Never.
So, Joette, your students like that one, you said. Are they rushing out to buy some cryptocurrency, though?
Well, now there's the thing. You asked about how effective are these ads. And there is a range of effectiveness. I asked my students about that ad in class, and I asked them, so what was the brand? None of them could name the brand. And that is an issue with a lot of these Super Bowl ads, is they get a lot of attention, they get a lot of excitement, but then when you go back and you ask somebody to tell you what the brand was, sometimes it's difficult for them to remember that. But as far as the Larry David ad, I find that fascinating because Larry David is a 74-year-old man mm-hmm. who has an appeal to everybody from baby boomer all the way down to Gen Z. They love him. And I think they love him. You know, this ad was successful because it really just brought in his personality, his lack of discretion, his audacity. And they just took that in this FTX ad for cryptocurrency, and they used that personality to make it entertaining.
And if somebody sees that ad and liked it and thought it was funny, but maybe didn't register, like you said, the advertiser, but now if they go to look online so that they can share it with their friends, then they're going to see the name. So that might have a long tail that might be maybe even more influential than when seeing it that first time.
This is what is another big part of advertising, is that usually that first impression is not going to have much effect. And that's why we talk again about the reach and the frequency. Super Bowl has a big reach, but then there has to be the frequency there. It has to be seen a number of times before it really starts registering with the consumer. Yes.
Joette, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's Joette Rocco, senior lecturer in the Department of Journalism, Advertising, and Media Studies at UW-Milwaukee. She joined us for a look at lessons learned from this year's round of Super Bowl ads.